Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That is our next guest, Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, talking about Tim Howard, who we've had on this show, the shortstop from Mount Carmel. Expected to be a first-round pick, and I would think still expected to be a first-round pick. And this year, he and his immediate future will not be affected, but about 1,050 other players will, by the official now decision from MLB to cut the draft from 40 rounds to 5. Let's talk about it with Jim Callis as he joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good, man. I hope you're safe, sane. Happy yep. Mother's Day to yours.
And, she's the mother of four kids, and we have four dogs in the house, so a lot going on. So
yeah, that's a big pile of responsibility on a Sunday morning. I'm surprised she's given you 10 or 12 minutes to step away and talk to us. So thank
well,
you.
Our kids are older, but this is like we have two of our four kids are with us right now, and the other two are living elsewhere. But the two who are here, it is also their birthday. So it is everybody here in the Callis household but me is either going to be honored for their birthday or Mother's Day today. So
you get nothing. But you're
I get nothing. Right. I get my day in June. So
There you go. All right, so I know you were not surprised that this is how it eventually came down. Any surprises in how we got here before we talk about the ramifications? Because I had heard that there was a deal on the table for 10 rounds with bonuses cut in half, that kind of thing. But any surprise at how we got here to the five rounds and five rounds only with a $20,000 maximum for undrafted free agents?
No, I mean, when they had the original deal, which was more of an addendum to a deal that was that really involved more how much service time players were going to get and the fact that they would not sue the owners if there's no season. They would not sue them for their salaries. The draft was kind of an afterthought, and MLB did not want to have a draft this year. And the union said, no, you have to have a draft because it's part of the collective bargaining agreement, but essentially said, feel free to screw the players however else you want. We won't stand in your way. You know, you want to defer all their money, except for $100,000 per kid, up to $100,000 per kid, go ahead. You want to take players who don't get drafted, and we'll put a $20,000 max, go ahead. You know, whatever you want, go ahead, but you have to have at least a five-round draft. And, yeah, they came back, MLB came back to the players, I guess, a couple weeks ago, last week, and they wanted to do round 6 or 10, but they wanted to cut the bonus slots in half for those rounds. And the union, I think the union's position on all this stuff is, we have an agreement. We didn't agree to let you cut slots on players if you had a 10-round draft, and we don't want to go back and reopen an agreement we already had. So they said no. I thought it was interesting. I think Jeff Passan was the first person to tweet about the five rounds being a certainty, and he portrayed it in his tweet as, hey, MLB wanted to do 6 through 10, but the union shot that proposal down. No, MLB wanted the union to agree to even further rollbacks on rounds 6 through 10 that they had not agreed to, and the union declined. So I thought the initial tweet by Jeff was a little pro MLB, making it sound like the union didn't, you know, wasn't amenable to doing round 6 through 10. But it's terrible. I mean, it's bad. Look, we know everybody's hurting. You know, there's no revenue in baseball right now, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, the 5-round draft. The bonus pools for first 5 rounds are $236 million. I'm sure a lot of fans are like, oh, my God, $236 million. Well, the union's letting them defer $220 million of that. They aren't going to pay those guys that. They'll get half of it next year, half of it 2 years. So it's not like this is a cash outlay that they have to pay the players now. To do a 10-round draft would have cost each team another $1 million per team. To let them sign free agents, say, 5 or 10 of them for $100,000 instead of $20,000 would have cost, you know, $500,000 to $1 million per team. And what they're going to get instead now is you're going to get a 5-round draft. I do think some players will sign for 20 who would have gotten more in the past, especially if you're a college junior. It's probably the best option if you want to play pro ball. But, you know, a lot of these kids, Matt, who get these six-figure bonuses after the 5th round, you know, there were 395 of them last year, they aren't going out and buying cars and yachts. I mean, they're paying off college loans, and when they're making $1,000 a month for 5 months, they get paid 5 months out of the year in the minors, and they need money to eat, and they need money to train, and all those types of things. They aren't going to have that money now, and it's a real shame because I don't think they had to squeeze those guys like that.
So 695 players, is that what you said?
395. There were 395 players last year after the 5th round who got at least a six-figure bonus. And now all those guys can only sign for $20,000.
Okay, so that gives you an indication of the kind of the normalcy of those kind of bonuses. And a lot of time those players are guys who they could be high schoolers or they're trying to keep from going to college. Right. They could be juniors that they're trying to keep from going back to college. So that's why they get offered high. That's usually why that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say of those 395 players, and I didn't break it down in particular, there's a handful of those guys are high school players. Like most of your high school players who are going to sign are going to sign early. But I would estimate out of that almost 400 guys, I'll bet that close to 350 of them were college juniors. And now it's tough because, yeah, you could go back to school and you'll still be a junior next year, but you'll be 22. Teams, you know, look at the age of players. And let's just assume, and I don't think this will be the case, but let's say everybody went back. Well, if everybody goes back, you have all the guys, you know, who are going to go in round 6 to 20 this year with all the guys who are going to go in round 6 to 20 next year. Well, half those guys aren't getting drafted in a 20-round draft. There's just not enough room. There's going to be fewer minor league teams. Who knows what college baseball is necessarily going to look like last year. And if everything's equal, if I'm looking at a 22-year-old kid and a 21-year-old kid, I'm taking the 21-year-old kid. So the sad reality of it is that I think, you know, I don't know how many of them will sign. But if you're a college junior right now, and you went to college, and look, some kids go to college and they want to get a degree. I mean, that's what a lot of us did. And some people use baseball as a vehicle to do that. You know, good. You should go back and get your degree. But I do think if you went to college and your goal going to college was, I want to play pro ball when I'm done, I mean, it stinks. Like, maybe you would have been an 8th-round pick this year or a 12th-rounder who would have gotten $125,000. If you get offered $20,000 with this landscape, if we're going to have fewer minor league teams next year and the draft's already been shortened and the economy's bad, you probably should take the 20 to get your foot in the door because it's sad, Matt. There are going to be kids this year who turn down $20,000, and I understand the frustration with that, you know, who would have gotten $125,000 or more. Which, you know, the limit for signing non-drafted free agents or guys after 10th round used to be 125, and you could even go over that if you had bonus pool money. You can't even use this year with your bonus pool. If you save money in your bonus pool, you cannot pay guys more than $20,000 regardless. You can't divert the money to them. And so these guys are going to be frustrated, and some of them are going to go back to school, and then they're going to wind up next year. A lot of them aren't even going to get drafted because there's going to be this glut of players in a 20-run draft with 42 fewer minor league teams. It's going to be really sad.
So the owner's motivation here, obviously, is to save that million five. Maybe for some of them, it's a little bit more. And then there's the deferred money. But their desire is to save that right now in the middle of a crisis and pay current employees. All right.
I guess I should be careful since I work for MLB, MLB.com. I mean, that might be the case. I mean, it's still not going to stop teams from furloughing employees if, like, there's no major league season. So, I mean, Yes, on one hand, it's very easy for me to say because it's not my money. Look, you know, they're doing people wrong. But the thing is, too, they're also hurting the sport. You're going to have a year where you only signed five rounds worth of players. And, I mean, Jake DeGrom was a ninth rounder, and Paul Goldschmidt was a seventh rounder. And there's all kinds of examples of guys who weren't in the first five rounds who became good big leaguers. I mean, it's not high on a percentage basis, but every year, you know, you'll see, you know, several guys from each draft after the fifth round become good. And you're going to have a gap. Like, if you like, well, let's look at the two local teams. Both the Cubs and the White Sox, you know, the Cubs, you know, do not have one of the better farm systems in baseball. The White Sox have a very top-heavy farm system. You know, we've talked about it. And, you know, assuming we have a season, Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal and Michael Kopech will probably all graduate off the prospect list this year. And the White Sox will have one of the thinner farm systems in baseball. And you get no opportunity to add depth to your farm. You get five picks. And next year we're going to have a 20-round draft, which, you know, theoretically could get shortened even further between now and then. And you're going to have, you know, who knows what's going to happen with international. They're already kind of pushing that back a little bit. Like, we might not have an international signing period in July. It might be January. And so you might have a two-year period where you would normally sign, I don't know, 100 or so players internationally and domestically through the draft, where teams are signing maybe more like 30 or 40. And that's going to be a huge, you know, like 3-4 years down the line, MLB's going to feel that.
Yeah, you know, so that's if that's the stated reason, if that's the somewhat public reason that we have to pay other employees and keep from furloughing, yes, we know they're going to still do that because that's what corporations often end up doing. But this other broader long-term approach of streamlining the minors and cutting down, that's the part that I can't get over, because it seems like they really want to streamline it and cut down what their own baseball ops people will tell them is the most efficient way of producing cheap young talent, which is the best currency in the game.
Why are they
believing that that is the right thing to do from a business perspective? It's not.
I agree with you, and I will say, not that I'm worried about anybody listening to this and getting in trouble, I will say, look, if the motivation for this is purely we want to keep more employees employed, then, you know, God bless the owners. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying that's about my – I know a lot of people – I mean, you do too, who work for teams. I don't want to see anybody lose their job. So, like, if that's truly the motivation, you know, then my hat is off to them. I think what it comes down to, honestly, is all this comes down to dollars and cents. It's just like when we adopted the bonus pool system after 2011. You know, it saves teams a little bit of money, but it also makes it hard to sign players, and you're going to lose some players to other sports when that happens. And, you know, baseball's talked about, you know, cutting back the minors and shortening the draft. And, you know, I mean, the coronavirus is basically making that happen for me. I mean, the minor leagues are basically giving up without much of a fight now, because they may not survive with what's going on with the economy and with the draft. I mean, the players, you know, the draftees aren't part of the union, but the union gets to collectively bargain the draft because it's tied to free agent compensation. So, like, what are the players going to do if they're offered incentives? Hey, we'll give you this, but we want to do this to the draft. They do it. It is short-sighted. I mean, you're right. I mean, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, not only, you know, just from a talent standpoint, but from a cost efficiency standpoint, it's so much cheaper to sign players out of the draft because, you know, for 3 years, you basically can pay them pretty much the minimum. You know, Pete Alonso is, you know, incredibly thankful that the Mets are going to pay him $653,000 or whatever it is this year, because they're paying him like $50,000 more than they have to after he, you know, hit 53 home runs last year. You know, and you see, you know, the games that went on with Chris Bryant, where his free agencies, you know, cost him a year of service time by monkeying around with him. And, you know, you control these guys, and it's huge. I mean, you know, like Chris Bryant, you know, whenever he leaves, you know, I don't know if they trade him, you know, they got two more years. Chris Bryant won't have been paid market value. I mean, the Cubs will have profited, you know, I don't know, probably, I mean, with his bonus and what his salaries are, the Cubs probably come out $200 million ahead in terms of the production he's delivered to them on the field, not to mention what winning a World Series and souvenir sales and all that. I mean, Chris Bryant alone, who was the number two pick in the draft, who got one of the highest bonuses of all time, they're going to come out at least $200 million ahead. I mean, if you had 20 drafts and you got Chris Bryant and you got nothing else, then you'd break even. And obviously they're getting more than that in 20 drafts, and it is incredibly short-sighted. It doesn't make sense, but I think when the owners get involved, with the draft, I think they get hung up on that the draft, to me, and again, it's easy. I'm not the one spending millions of dollars, but I also don't have a franchise valued at billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's research and development, and you're not going to always hit on everything you put into R&D if you're in business. But the guys you hit on, because the system is so skewed against young players getting their market value, you come out so far ahead. I mean, you know, Javi Baez is another guy that they got all kinds of excess value out of. Even, you know, Albert Almora, who, you know, hasn't quite been what they hoped, but they're going to come out ahead on Albert Almora. I mean, you can go on and on and on. I mean, internationally too. You know, if they had held on to, you know, and there was value in training, but if they held on to Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez, they'd get hundreds of millions in profit in terms of production as opposed to what they invested in those guys for 6 years of their career. I mean, it's, you know, and that's what you look at, but I think the owners get too fixated sometimes on, you know, the guys who don't make it, who bust, and then it's like, oh, we paid $2 million to this guy and he didn't do anything. But yeah, but like the guys you come out ahead, you come so far ahead. And I mean, mm-hmm. Shoot, before the bonus pool system was the best thing that could have happened to the White Sox, because before that, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf hated spending on the draft, and the White Sox literally spent less than anybody in baseball on the draft. At least with the bonus pool system now, they spend their pool every year, and they're up with everybody. But before that, I mean, they were spending like $3.5 million a year on the draft.
Yeah, they've had a lot of guys drafted after round six that have made it to the bigs. I mean, a lot of teams have, even the ones who are bad at it, even the ones who've been bad at the draft have had success. I saw the numbers yesterday, Jim, according to Sport Radar, of the 1,410 players who played at least one game in 2019, 1,046 had entered the league through the draft. And almost half of those, 483 of those, 46% of the drafted players who played in the league last year were taken in the sixth round or later. That is a massive percentage, because teams are not great at it. And also some guys are not as good in high school or college as they end up being, because they grow and they develop and they mature and they bust their hump.
Exactly. And, you know, like one of my favorite scouting directors, he always says, the draft is hard. The draft is hard. I mean, on one hand, if you look at the draft, you know, the first round picks are the most successful, and then there's like a graph that kind of drops off the cliff and flattens out pretty quick. But, you know, you need to cast that wide net. You know, like even like when I talk about players, you know, we talk about guys being like fourth to seventh rounders or sixth or tenth rounders. I mean, those are wide groups of players. You know, sixth to tenth round is 150 players. And in my mind, they're all kind of basically the same. You know, even, you know, some guys will go in the sixth round, some guys just go in the tenth round. But, I mean, it's just there's some randomness to it. You know, this isn't the NFL or the NBA. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, you look in those sports, I mean, look at the Bears. I mean, Bears don't draft well. You know, like those, at least at those sports, when guys miss, they get to the big leagues. You know, they play in the NFL, they play in the NBA, so they don't look as a big of a bust. But, you know, in baseball, the big difference is you're projecting guys out so far. If I'm looking at Ed Howard, I'm trying to figure out what Ed Howard's going to be when he's 23 years old. That's 5 years from now. Like, I could be a great scout, but there's still some guesswork in there. Even your college guys, if I take a guy at 21, unless he's a superstar, he's probably not going to be in the big leagues till he's 24 or 25. So I've got to project these guys so far down the road. And yeah, I mean, there is some hit and miss to it. But and again, I mean, the thing is, when you get into the sixth round to the 10th round, you know, that's five players. You know, typical team's bonus pool is going to be $1 million. And then after the 10th round, you know, like I said, you know, you can sign guys for 125, and anything over that counts against your pool. Like, you know, so like I could get, say, you know, 10 guys in rounds 11 through 20 for $1 million, $1.25 million. Like, that's $2 million for, you know, 15 players. If I hit on one big leaguer in there, I come out ahead. I just need one. And, you know, the odds are you're probably going to get more than one.
Another minute or two with Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline. So the message to specific kids, I'm sure you can think of many examples of people you've dealt with, kids that you've scouted, information that you've compiled, multi-sport guys who are either in college and can play a couple sports, or they're in high school and they're thinking about going to play other sports, and they get an offer of a bonus for $100,000, $150,000, and that changes their thought process, changes their life, changes their family's life, and they choose baseball and eventually make it to the bigs. Now, if those kids are offered $20,000, they might just say no to baseball altogether. That's my fear, is that baseball, which has struggled so much to grab some of these multi-sport guys, even though there is such a benefit long-term in being a baseball player in terms of the money, the health, the guarantees, and all that. There's going to be a ton of kids who say, you know what? No, I'll just go ahead and continue on my multi-sport path or do something else.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, to be honest, there aren't a lot of high school kids who are necessarily going to sign for the 125. So I don't think we're going to see that many high school kids affected, you know, who would have signed for a decent amount of money affected by it. Because most of your high school guys who sign for money go in the first five rounds. But it kind of sends a message that, like, hey, you want to go to college and play baseball? Like, this is what might be awaiting you. You know, you're going to have fewer teams in the minors. We're having a shorter draft. We're going to make it harder to enter pro ball. And, you know, the message might there be like, ooh, like, you know, do I really want to pursue baseball? You know, plus the fact that baseball is extremely expensive to play at the amateur level with all the travel teams, and that it's not a good sport in terms of scholarship ratio. I mean, you have 11.7 scholarships for a 35-man roster. I mean, you can do the math. There aren't a whole lot of baseball players on full scholarships. I mean, you're paying your way to play in a lot of cases. So, you know, I mean, and that's the other thing that's going to be tough, too. We didn't even touch on this, Matt, is that there's going to be, and this is going to be sad, too. So if a high number of juniors who ordinarily would have signed for six-figure bonuses go back to school, you're going to have a bunch of freshmen, incoming freshmen, who find out in late July, early August, their team doesn't have any scholarships money for them because their juniors came back. And sorry, but, you know, you're going to have to go play junior college or go somewhere else. Like, there's going to be a lot of kids in July and August who find out right before they're getting ready to go off to school that they don't have a scholarship this year. And that's going to be really sad, too.
Yeah. Jim, anything else that we've missed here that we should get in? I guess, is there a happy medium? I know that it's been 40 forever. If we have 20 rounds next year, and if the owners, and they're going to get their way, get to streamline the minors a little bit, and eliminate a high A or eliminate a low A and do that kind of thing. Is there a more efficient way of doing business that also does not, you know, crap can the entire system in a way that they're trying to do? Is there a middle ground that could make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely argue that if you were setting up the minors from scratch today, we were just building this now, that the current system does have inefficiencies. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I do think if you had a 20-round draft, you know, and you had normal slots for the first 10 rounds, and you could go to 125 for rounds 11 through 20, yeah. You know, I mean, there are a handful of guys who get, you know, six-figure bonuses after the 20th round, but honestly, if you haven't been picked in the top 20 rounds, like, you're not a can't-miss guy. And if those guys wind up being guys who get, you know, a handful of dollars, you know, if they get an opportunity or don't get an opportunity. I mean, look, there's guys in those rounds who make it, too. You know, not everybody, but, like, there's guys who get drafted in those rounds who make it. You know, I'm thinking, you know, C.J. Edwards was a real low-round pick. I don't know why Sergio Romo just popped in my head. He was drafted in the 20s. Like, you know, and maybe, you know, you're still going to miss out on those. But if you had a 20-round draft, which is the plan for next year, you theoretically are going to capture probably 90 to 95% of the big league players that you normally would capture. And I do think that could be more equitable. It's just five is such a small number, and it's going to, like I said, it's going to create a talent gap in minor league systems. Plus, next year's draft is just going to be this bloated draft because you're basically going to have a lot of guys who would have been round 6 through 20 this year with the guys who would be round 6 or 20 next year. Well, I mean, the math is half those guys can't get drafted. Plus, like I was talking about, the high school players who aren't going to have spots, they go to junior college, they're draft eligible. So, I mean, you're going to have this bloated draft next year because they only did five rounds this year and, you know, however many $20,000 free agents they can sign.
Yeah, so many great stories, whether it's the 38th round pick that was Mark Burley in 1998.
Yeah, right? He was a draft and five. I mean, and that was a rule, and people miss that rule. That you used to be able, if you drafted a player and he went to junior college, you would keep his rights for a year, and you could sign him before next year's draft. So you could kind of see how he developed. But yeah, I mean, we just did a thing on greats, the best small college player on each team. And, you know, Mark Burley was a 30th rounder. I mean, Jim Thome, you know, who played for the White Sox, you know, was drafted by the Indians. He was a 13th rounder out of Illinois Central. Now, I mean, you know, theoretically, you know, he would have continued to play and maybe gotten spotted. But, like, you know, I mean, he doesn't get picked in a five-round draft.
Yeah. So, you know, well, we'll see if it bounces back to the happy medium. But it's long been so obvious the currency of a good farm system and the currency when it actually gets to the big leagues of cheap and useful talent. And this move is just going to absolutely destroy this year's crop of that. Jim, thanks for the honesty. Thanks for the time. And I'm sure you'll still have a job. Don't worry.
I hope so. Well, I was going to say, I mean, just, you know, just on your last point, Matt, look at what the Cubs did when they came in. Well, what they said they were going to do. They're going to build from within.
Sir.
And they did that. And, like, I mean, if they had been, let's say this had happened when the Cubs were rebuilding, this would have been a huge blow to only have a five-round draft. You know, because, I mean, they basically won with, I mean, they did sign some free agents, but they basically won with homegrown talent, and they traded, you know, Gleyber Torres, brought in Chapman, and, you know, I mean, they did what they said they were going to do. They knew that was the most cost-efficient way, and they went about and did it.
The reason they're in trouble now, Jim, is that they've been bad at it. They've been bad at drafting the last, you know, 4 or 5 years overall, so now they don't have that currency. But just because you're bad at it doesn't mean that you cut it out. A lot of other teams have been good at it. They have to get better, and they're trying to.
And, you know, the secret to that, too, is, like, I've done this for 30 years. Nobody drafts well year after year. Like I said, the draft is hard. You could take whoever you think the best scout is or the best scouts, and you look at their teams, and their draft performance is up and down because it's hard. You know, I mean, the Cubs will tell you, it's a lot easier when you're picking in the top 5 or 6, you know, 3 or 4 years in a row than it is when you're picking in the 20s. You know, that's the nature. The draft is just hard.
Yeah. Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And get back to the family and the dogs.
Yep. Well, thanks. Take care, Matt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.